In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have an alumni guest today. This is very exciting. She is somebody you'll remember from my first time. I think it was 2019. And she was in a show entitled Engineer Quits Job Only 2 Years with Apartment Investing. And then later on, she came back and in 2020, April of 2020, on an episode entitled Before You Quit Your Day Job. Both of them are great, and there are going to be some links here so you guys can go back and listen. But I'm talking about Pam Scamardo, and she is a respected leader in the multifamily investing space. She's dedicated to helping the industry evolve. She is an author now. We got a new book, which is what I'm really stoked about here, and why I'm real excited to have her on the show. It's called Create Wealth: How to Ditch the 9-to-5 Job. Through her multifamily investment, she quickly gained a new title, Job Optional. For Pam, this meant that her investments were sustaining her financial needs and she no longer had to work. But rather, she could choose to work if she wanted to, and that's what she did. This pivotal shift led Pam to launch her first company, TPK Properties, which helps syndicate apartment building investments. Well, Pam, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thanks so much, Bill. What a lovely introduction there. Hi, guys, for all you listening. It's great to be back. Hopefully some of you guys have listened to the other episodes that Bill has put on, because he is one of the best podcasters out there, in my humble opinion.
Oh, get out.
It's true. You are always providing valuable resources, and gosh, it's you and Peter Harris, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe
love Peter.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I am just first real excited to kind of hear, you can kind of share maybe a little of your background, even though we've you know, had you on it a couple of times before, but more, you know, kind of catching up. Guy, it was 2020 last, you know, more than 2 years ago you've
That's
been
right.
on. So I hear amazing things about what you're doing. So, yeah, why don't you just bring us up to date?
Sure, absolutely. I'm a former aerospace and mechanical engineer. Got tired of sitting in my cubicle, saw the writing on the wall, and kept getting assigned with super fun tasks, which I really enjoyed. But along with that came longer days, longer hours, but basically was chained to working for that W-2 job. So I didn't want that anymore. Found financial independence through multifamily investing and worked really hard to get there. And so that took about 2 years with three properties, about 6 investors that it took. And so fast forward, let me knock on wood really quick here. Haven't had issues yet, but we've just been growing ever since then. And Bill, I mean, when I first met you, I was in a different stage of my career. And now coming back has been full circle where I'm just really focused on giving back in the way that I can. That really fills my soul cup, if you will. I'm still exploring this new transition of what Pam wants to provide to the world, but also continuing to acquire and teach. And like you said, the book as well. I never thought I'd be a writer, Bill. You know that as an engineer, we write with numbers. I don't even know how to talk.
Well, that's amazing. On top of everything else you've done and are doing, the fact of, you know, being able to actually put out a book is amazing. And you know, what did you have to do? I mean, did you have to kind of like carve out a certain amount of time each day to do that? Or and now you're an engineer, so you probably put it on a spreadsheet or something and said, you know, one chapter a week or whatever.
Oh, you're funny, Bill. You're right. But this time I kind of took a leap of faith. So the story, the background story is basically I had COVID in, that was what, 2021. Had COVID during the holidays, which was already sad enough. So I unfortunately was quarantining alone for Christmas and New Year's. And I remember I had binge watched every show, cleaned the house twice. Caught up in all, like, you know, our what is it, paperwork throughout the year, bills and all that. I mean, I was by myself for 14 days, so enough to kind of go bonkers, so to speak, because I couldn't go out. And then I, you know, ordered every kind of food that I really wanted to try. And I thought, you know what else can I do to be more productive? And this is where Crazy Pam came into play, but I'm thankful for that. It was just an intuitive thought of like, you know what, let's just start consolidating all my thoughts onto Word, Microsoft Word, and also bring in all of my blogs and articles that I've written. And as I started doing that, Bill, it just took me 4 hours. I've never flowed like that in my entire existence. So this is not the norm. So I wrote my whole book in 4 hours and rang in the new year.
No. Wait a minute. You wrote the whole book in 4 hours? Come on.
I did. I just kept going and going. And by the time I finished, I looked at it and I was like, oh my gosh, I have a book. I have over 100 pages of stuff. And so that's what happened. And then, Bill, that's when I started the spreadsheet of like, okay, now what am I going to do for 2022? How am I going to turn it into a book? How am I going to get a publisher? Because this is not, you know, this is not my normal MO at all. So it's fun, exciting, new, scary. And, you know, I found the silver lining, the commonality, Bill, is, you know, how when we first started looking for properties, we probably searched far and wide, looked at so many listings, fallen out of escrow so many times, you know, going through all that. It was kind of the same similar path with trying to find a publisher. I pitched myself to over, like, I want to say over 150 literary agents, publishing houses. And I said, hey, got a unique idea from a female perspective because, you know, it's a male-dominated industry. Just want to throw it out there. Got all no's. And then one of them said, hey, you know, since you're just starting off with no track record, try self-publishing on Amazon first and then let's talk. And I thought, brilliant. I'm going to run with it. So that's what I did. So phoned my good friend who's an editor, but two of them actually, one's an editor and the other one writes for Netflix. So I thought, hey guys, let's have a little powwow. What can Pam do? And they helped me with the process. And so it's been a wonderful experience. So I published the book this year, but self-published and it's fun. And now, and the fun thing is, Bill, I now have two agents courting me to try to take it to, you know, a publishing house. And I want to take it like internationally as well, because I'm Thai. And you know my background with that. Like, I have family in Thailand. I thought, wouldn't it be cool, you know, in my motherland to just get it translated into Thai?
Wow, that'd be awesome.
So that's next. But it's been a wild and fun ride. So, yes, Bill, it only took 4 hours, which I don't think will be the case for the second book. Because I don't wish to get COVID again. That was horrible. But yeah, here we are.
God, that's amazing. Well, can we dig into the book? Can you kind of tell us what to expect? I know I don't want to spoil it for people, and I certainly would love, you know, people to be able to read it themselves. But just kind of, you know, give us some teasers here about what's in the book that you think it might be great.
Absolutely. Well, I think the best thing ever, Bill, which you'll appreciate this, is that Peter Harris wrote the foreword for my book, and I mean, to this day, I still tear up thinking about it. Full circle. As my mentor, as a friend, as a colleague, he saw something in me that I didn't see back then. And look at where we are now. It's full circle. So he wrote the foreword, guys. So Peter is big, big, big out there for those of you listening. So it's been an honor and a privilege to be connected to him, and so this is why this book is so special for me. But in the book here, I flipped to the table of content. I basically highlighted kind of like the 12 steps I kind of took to really explore and find my own path, chart my own, I guess, way forward, because there's no one right way to do something. And so I talk about assessing where you are emotionally, financially, physically as well. Like, for example, I had a client who was going through a divorce but really wanting to buy properties, and I said, hey, you know what? A divorce is going to be emotionally taxing. You're not linking it to buying properties right now, but I promise you it's going to get really hard. And if you're in the state of California, it's a community state property or community property state. So it could become a little pickly. And I also talk about, you know, how to network, what groups I started networking with. And then one of the most important chapters was, should you get a mentor or a coach? And Bill, you already know my answer to this. Absolutely. We have coaches for what? Our mental health. They're called therapists. We have doctors who are our coaches as well, right? Because they help us stay on track so we can be physically healthy. I mean, if you look all around, we have mentors and coaches. So why not with multifamily investing? At least that's how I see it as. And we should also not expect free handouts in that sense. And then I talk about how to invest, like how Pam invests. And so each chapter will start off with like an anecdote, kind of like how I went about it. And then I'll talk the technical bit, and then I'll end it with Pam's tips. So basically I was trying to cater to the audience who didn't really want to read. So at the end of each chapter, guys, there's like three tips if you want to skip through all the words. And then for those who love stories, that's at the beginning of each chapter of Pam's stumbling, funny stories, if you will. And honestly, this is the most vulnerable, position I've ever put myself in, because I decided to end my book with a list of goals that I want to achieve that's personal to me. But I thought that if I could motivate just one person and inspire just one person to go out and go do this and go slay and go be a good person in society and provide quality housing while also making their investors happy and themselves happy, I think I'm more than happy with that. Like, I'm okay. Like, it just, I don't know. I'm just so happy, Bill.
That's so great. That's so great. Now, you know, your story, right? You started with the fourplex, right? Wasn't that your first?
No. Close, though. It was six units.
Six units, okay.
Yeah, we talked about that in one of our older episodes where you asked me, why did I not choose a fourplex? And I'll tell you guys why. It's because if you really want to get far and if you really want to kind of accelerate your growth, this is what I've found to be true, is you need to operate on the commercial real estate front, not the residential side. And so for the commercial real estate side, you need to buy 5 units and above. But I do remember talking to you about one of my first failures, Bill, and that was that 4 unit, because my eyes got greedy and I thought, oh, why don't I buy a 4 unit for the heck of it? But it wasn't my first property. It was a huge lesson learned for Pam that I will never do again.
And tell me the advantages of a commercial property versus a residential property.
Absolutely. So on the residential side, eventually you're going to tap out of your capital. Also, you're going to tap out of your credit score, because that's what banks heavily base the property's performance on. But when you're on the commercial side and you have a track record that you've slowly built, the lending terms are more favorable down the line, and they look more at the property's performance rather than just, oh, is it Pam who's owning it and what's her credit score? It's all weighed together, but the terms are a little different. What I notice is there's that whole non-recourse loan situation. And for those of you who might be new to this, that is like the ultimate. You don't want a recourse loan where you're like guaranteeing for this property. Like nowadays, I want to say 80% of my properties are non-recourse loans, like are on non-recourse loans, meaning if you operate properly and you're not negligent about it, they won't come after you personally. And I think that's the whole goal. That is why commercial real estate investing is so fun for me. And it's also less emotional. The numbers just have to work. If they work, they work. And if they don't, we shake hands and we move on. So those are some of the advantages. And you're able to just scale up faster. And I think a lot of us, we can't buy time, right? Every minute, every hour, we get older. We can't turn back that time. And so time is a precious commodity for us. And I think that was also why I thought, okay, we must go into the commercial real estate arena. If I really want to grow the business for my family, for my friends, you name it, Bill, that's one of the biggest perks.
That's great. Getting your first commercial loan, though, without having any prior experience, was that difficult the lending?
Yes, and I think you have experience with that, too.
I sure have, yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think we all go through it. And unfortunately for me, Bill, being a female as well, kind of made it a little more difficult too. I do recall, a lot of lenders turning me down, and then some of them were shocked that I was even an engineer. And then some were shocked that, as a female, what am I doing out here? One of them literally, no joke, asked like, shouldn't you, be home, or shouldn't you be doing something else instead of trying to do an inspection on this property or try to, we had a gutted unit, I guess. That was my first property. It was 6 units. And I came up with a game plan, got bids, did the whole thing, was working with a GC, which is short for general contractors, guys out there who are listening. And I just remember one of the lenders was like, well, what are you really doing here? This is almost like a guy's job. And I said, well, yeah, it could be, but that doesn't mean I don't know what I'm doing. And so obviously he and I didn't work out in regards to getting a loan, but gosh, Bill, it was really tough to try to prove myself. So you have to go through the whole rigmarole of just, here's my resume, here's what I've been doing, get interviewed, begging and pleading, right? For just that chance, for just that opportunity. And I tell you what, in hindsight, it really helps you to become stronger, to learn to just face rejection. And you're going to be okay in the long run. Because now what I think is that it just wasn't meant to be. And so the first person who took a leap of faith with me was John Lloyd at the San Diego loan company down in San Diego. He's still there to this day. And I remember he came on site to see the gutted unit, to meet me. I really think he wanted to meet me because we had been on the phone for a while. And he took a leap of faith with me and we shook hands on the spot. Woman to man to woman, shook hands.
That's good.
And that was the best thing ever. But I have to say, I get it. There's a lot of skepticism out there, guys. I just think you have to be positive yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, how can you expect anyone to believe in you? So true. That is the biggest lesson learned for me, because I remember that at some point I was so scared. I mean, we all go through it. And guys out there, even if you buy bigger properties, it doesn't always get easier. You just have to deal with fear working alongside with you. You just get better at handling the fear. That's really what it is. Fear doesn't disappear. But what I realized was that I went through this phase of like, I was so scared. I was meek. I was shy. And then by the time I got rejected so many times from all the different lenders, I thought, wait a minute. I'm just as human as the next person that they're going to give money to. As a matter of fact, I have a game plan with, my engineering nerdy spreadsheets. I've already done a lot of the extra work that some others have not done as a potential landlord. I thought, well, it's about time I start believing in my own skill sets. And that's when things kind of slowly start turning around. And guys, I'm not saying be cocky out there, but just really own it. Own your skill set and be honest. I think that was also key. I was always honest with every lender that I approach. I said, look, I'm new, but I know I'm going to go far. This is how I work. I'm very tenacious, persistent, you name it. What do you need me to do? I'm going to do it and I'll prove it to you.
That's great. How long did you have that property before you purchased your next one?
I had it for less than a year, Bill. And I got excited. And then that's when I bought my 4-unit failure. That was in Arizona, actually, because back then, Bill, the price was like $79,000 for a fourplex.
Oh my gosh, $79,000?
Right?
Wow.
Right?
That, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get a garage in California for that.
Exactly. So, of course, I couldn't say no. But that was a lesson learned of don't be greedy with the eyes. And then I bought, let's see. So I started with 6, then did 4, then did 10, then 16, 24, and just kept going on. And for me, this is Pam's little secret sauce, which is really not a secret, guys. But I just challenged myself to buy one unit more than the previous unit. That's really all it was. If I could every year buy another unit that was an extra, like, so if I started with 6 units, my goal was like, okay, let me look for a 7-unit apartment. Well, Bill, I don't think they build 7-unit apartments.
True.
The next one was like 8 units, you know, and then you just kind of go up from there. So I made it fairly easy enough for myself, but also practice having compassion if I fell out of escrow. I think that was another key thing that I realized, nothing's perfect in life. And you have to be open to all those business challenges and just go in with a kind heart. That's always been kind of my business philosophy, that you can be kind and you can still have compassion and you can still kick butt and be successful. You don't have to go out there and kill in a sense of just like, you know, this is the last transaction ever and I'm going to milk every penny from the opposite, you know, the opposite team. It shouldn't have to be that way because you want to create long lasting relationships.
Well, that's very smart. I mean, it is really a relationship business, isn't it, Pam?
It is. And I didn't realize that in the beginning, Bill, when I first, you know, met Peter and talked with you. And then I realized after having kids, I still remember, like, during our podcast, I was heavily pregnant with one of my children who was, like, kicking the whole time while you and I were talking. I was, like, trying to hold it together. but it's those moments that, like, I'll never forget, you know, that here I was hanging out with you trying to talk about properties and my life while my little one in my stomach was just doing his acrobats. And that just reminds you how precious life is. And I think that's kind of a wonderful universal reminder that we're all human. And I think we just need to try our best. And even if we stumble, it's okay to take a couple steps back and try again. And I forget if I shared this with you, Bill, but during 2020 when we connected, it might have been maybe before this happened, but my tenants from the 24-unit property wrote us a thank you card, which that's not normal, you know, for landlords, right?
Oh, you bet.
To receive anything. And they wrote a very heartfelt thank you card for our team. And I owe it all to my property managers who were boots to the ground doing it. I may have been behind the scenes directing, but it's a team effort that a lot of people forget. It's a team sport. So I owe it all to my front runners, which were my property managers. And what they did was, initially, they asked us if we could just not take our cash flow for a couple months because we didn't know what 2020 was going to bring or do. And I said, sure, why not? Like, why don't you buy PPEs for them, buy iPads for their children who can't connect to school or their homework? Just do what you need to do. And then at the, like, maybe at the end of the summer, if COVID is still around or we're still shut down, let's just throw a socially distanced barbecue for the community just so we can have a sense of a community and be there for one another and just check in. That's all I asked, was just please check in, do a wellness check, see how we can help them with resources. And if it's not too much out of the way financially, let's do it. That's really all I went with. And it was just, Bill, I have to say, when I received that card, again, I guess maybe now that I'm a mom, I'm like super emotional, but it was just, I was sitting there with it. And I'm like, gosh, it's that. That's why I do what I do. And that's why I help the people I help. And I'm very choosy with people. You already know that too. I can't always help everyone with my limited 24 hours a day with my 2 young monkeys. So, but it's why we do what we do, right, Bill? Like you're here with your podcast providing valuable information for the love of what you do and to help others. And I think that's the best way to go about it. We've got sharks and dolphins out there. To me, I pick the side of being on the dolphins. We've got plenty of sharks. As a matter of fact, I had that conversation this morning with a good friend of just like, you know, there's always going to be takers out there, but you don't have to be that type of person. you can still be successful without having to, in a sense, try to go one up someone.
Right.
So that's kind of my message to everyone. Find your own way. You will be more than successful, more than content with life and happy.
Oh, that's so awesome. What a great story. What a great story. I think, you know, that's, you know, this is part of the frustration sometimes, I'm sure, you know, with a lot of us is that, you do encounter those people where it's, you know, it's all about money. It's not about family or community or, you know, the people living in the house that we call tenants, you know. I mean, they're people, they're individuals, they're people that have needs just like we do. And, you know, to be able to take that kind of a step and just love on your tenants. I mean, most people would say, what? You know, I got to keep distance from them, you know, or they're going to take advantage of me. You know, it's like all these fear elements and other things going on, but it's, you know, it really is. I mean, if we're really honest about it, you know, I mean, are we building communities or are we just, you know, building our pocketbooks? And I think that that's, you know, that to me, the community is essential. That's, you know, that's what we, yeah, that's what we as people, we want, you know, we want a good, safe community. We're living in and a place where, you know, where we can help people do, you know, the kinds of things they have to do as a family, as individuals, and so forth. So that's just a really, right. Really good story.
Oh, thank you. And I think you touched on it right there, Bill, that it's all about creating. I mean, and I get it. There's the pocketbooks that we need to kind of be mindful about. So I'm not saying, you know, give and never really focus on your own business aspect. I just want to say out there, guys, like how Bill does it. It's just, you can be smart, but you can still be kind too. You don't have to take advantage of tenants. And I'll be honest, like there are tenants who do take advantage of that, but they're, you know, they're just the bad apples and that's okay. You just have a strategy that hopefully you'll find them the right fit in a different community. At least that's how I have approached it. Now, Bill, if you asked me earlier in my days, I would have been that angry person of like, oh my gosh, why are they trying to take advantage of us? And it's nowadays, it's just like, it's par for the course, everyone. If you're going to jump into this, you might get sued. You might deal with evictions. You might deal with bad apples. But at the end of the day, if you look at it, they're human beings as well. And I've realized that hurt people hurt others. And so sometimes maybe they're struggling with something. And, you know, to each their own. For me, I have a soft heart for veterans. So thank you all out there who are listening and, you know, and you've served for our country. Thank you for what you did or are doing. And then I also have a soft heart for domestically abused women who, unfortunately, you know, they, for example, they never got a credit card, don't have a credit history. How can they rent anywhere? And so I work with local agencies wherever I buy. And then I just try to help incorporate that piece of humanity into the properties. And I think it's more than paid off in just happiness, because my property managers, their lives are easier in a sense that we always have had a wait list, even way before the pandemic. And so, and in comparison, Bill, like one of my colleagues who heavily invests in, was it Arkansas? I forget, somewhere out there. He owned like over 1,000 units, but in 2020, he lost over 65% of them, meaning they didn't pay. And it was a huge lesson learned of just treating tenants properly, you know?
Right.
And so I think that's the key. Whereas when everyone was really worried about the vacancies, the losing of rent money, knock on wood here, we were sustaining at 98% occupancy the whole time, did not change. And we're happy. Our investors are happy. And I want to keep growing, but gosh, that's another subject, right? The market is totally bonkers everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Tell me about it. Wow. Well, speaking of which too, I was kind of curious, you know, any sort of the recent acquisitions that you might have as well. Anything to speak of?
Yeah. Yeah. So right before the interest rates got hiked up, I technically did not acquire, but I took four communities, refi, cashed out, paid out all of the investors in those properties, and then some. So turned all of them into infinite returns, which is amazing. Now, if you guys don't know What that means basically is you no longer have your own capital sitting in it. You might actually still have a mortgage, but the mortgage is paid by your rental income. But none of your money, like your initial money that you've invested, is sitting in there anymore. So that was a blessing for all of us right before the interest rates hiked up. Will I do that again? 4-in-1, like 4 refinances? No, thank you. I grew so many gray hairs. But hey, you live, you learn. Because Bill, I'm sure you experienced this too. Every property has its own set of people, has its own set of stories, needs, and wants. So that was really wild. And it took about a year to close. So I started it in 2020. And it started running in the beginning of 2021, and then we closed in the beginning of this year. Because it was 4 large properties, and you know how it is when they're doing the refinance. They go through every rigmarole, and then some banks are like, no thanks, it's not the right fit. Things are changing. We don't know with the pandemic. So that's what made it hard. But I guess the message to everyone out there is just have tenacity, right? Be persistent. You'll find the right fit. You'll find the right program, whatever it may be. And I'm thankful for that because we were able to close those 4 deals and make my investors really, really happy.
That's great. And what, what size apartments are you dealing with now and what markets?
Yeah. So I would like to syndicate 100 units. So that's kind of the next goal for me. Basically trying to stay under the institutional arena because they're heavily invested in 300 to 500 units and above. So 100 units is kind of fun to play with where I'm still personally in touch before I become off touch. You know what I mean? Like when you get bigger, you're not able to do a lot of hands-on stuff and you have to delegate almost everything. But I still miss my walks, my connections with people. The tenants don't know me, but, you know, the property managers do, and they fill me in on all the stories as much as they can, right? And then, I mean, there's only – you reach a certain point where it's just like you don't know everyone, but that's okay. I like the space that I'm in. So I want to syndicate another 100 units, and I've always been mostly on the West Coast, but to be honest, guys, I'm looking all over. If you guys haven't watched the show called Selling Tampa on Netflix, I've been heavily involved with Sherelle's team. To try to look into Tampa or somewhere in Florida. So that's been kind of the latest and greatest, even though the market's not too conducive, but I'm not giving up. It's just fun to work with a very solid team of women, really killing it in that space. And side note, I did not know that she was engaged or married to Chad Ochocinco. Don't know anything about sports, but That was a fun story of meeting him, shaking his hands, and didn't realize who he was, which I'm sure he appreciated it because I treated him like a regular, normal person.
Yeah, also, I think Jacksonville is also kicking it over there, too. I've heard of a lot of female investors that are heavily involved in Jacksonville.
Yes, yes, you're right. There's that, too. And, you know, also, like, for some reason, Michigan's cropped up. At least for me and my team, let's see where else. Idaho's a little saturated right now, in my opinion, unless you're like far, far out. But I'm more familiar with the West Coast. I have in-laws in Texas, so always had the pulse out there. And a lot of investors are there. And so it depends which area people are trying to invest in. If you're like small-time starter, it might be hard. But that's okay. Don't give up. It just depends. Are you in the 20-unit range, 50-unit, 100 units? So that's what will make it easier or harder because, as you've said, Bill, this is a relationship business. And the longer you're in the business, the bigger the properties get, you kind of run into the same set of people. So as big as it sounds, word travels. Your reputation travels as well.
that's so true. Oh, that's great. Well, man, this is really exciting. The things that are going on in your life, your family's growing. You've got, you've got like so many organizations you're involved with too. I mentioned CREW. What can you explain to people what CREW is?
Sure. CREW stands for Commercial Real Estate Women with the mission of advancing women globally in the commercial real estate arena. So it's not just only multifamily investors. We've got women in like escrow, lending, you name it, appraisal. So it's just more of kind of women uplifting one another up. To be truthfully honest, in my own opinion here, is that one day I hope we don't have an organization like this and that the playground is even enough where we all can just play together nicely and we're all there. And I would love to see more women in the decision-making room. Right. So much more exciting. Like, Bill, you're one of the main, like, male allies for this group. And so it's people like you. So I'm one of the global directors. I am like a liaison to the Pacific Northwest chapters. We have over 12,000 members globally.
Wow.
Yeah. The latest chapter that joined or was inaugurated is in Hawaii. And that's actually why I'm here. And also trying to do this podcast with you, which has been exciting, right, Bill, with our, difference and our technological, you know, just instances here. But I came here to help kind of like launch the 78th chapter with Crew Hawaii. And it's just been so wonderful, uplifting. I mean, and plus, who wouldn't want to go to paradise, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were on vacation.
It's a bit of both. I started off with, you know, with volunteer work, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to hang out with my friends, and I'm just going to take a couple days to decompress and then head back to reality at the end of today. So it's been nice. I've been really happy here. It's been nice to get in touch with who Pam is again as an individual, as an adult. I think we all need that sometimes, right?
Sure.
Just to kind of reset. And so been really involved with this. And I've met so many people professionally, and also they've become lifelong friends. That's truly what it is about Crew Network for me and why I've joined. And to be honest, Bill, it was Peter Harris who introduced me to it. He's like, Pam, you need some girlfriends in this multifamily investing space. Go join Crew. And I thought, oh, okay, sure. And I've been involved since then. And then another volunteer space for me, Bill, which is the latest and greatest, is I'm the director for the Center of Real Estate for Cal State Fullerton. We are like one of the largest like business programs there. And it's surprising that there's no real estate concentration or major. And so that's part of my mission and my my team and the board of directors is to really get a real estate concentration going to help connect students with Orange County or other county companies, real estate companies, so they can learn about real estate, residential and commercial real estate. And it's been so fun just mentoring these go-getters. I mean, I started thinking about myself when I was in college and I was not this involved. So I'm so proud of them. They're out there networking. They are just eager to learn and they just want to meet as many people as possible. And so that's kind of what keeps me going. I do this pro bono and help the dean of the College of Business and Econ, and it's been amazing. It's been so fun.
That's great. Well, it's so neat to see somebody who you know, is successful but is also giving back in such a great way, and in so many different ways too. It's just awesome. Pam, it has been so great having you on again. I'm so excited for you, excited for your book, and I'm going to recommend highly to, you know, our listeners here that they got to check it out and you know, not only hear some of these great stories that you know, you've got in there, but just the things they're going to learn and pick up along the way.
Oh, thank you, Bill. And I really do hope that, you know, your listeners here just feel inspired to keep continuing to listen to you and also, you know, make that step forward of just whether it's an email, a phone call, or reaching out to my team, whatever we can do to help, we're here. And, you know, I just think at this point in our lives, we've got so much yucky stuff going on in our world. So let's just try to be kind to one another, right?
You got it. You got it. So, Pam, I just really thank you for coming on. It's awesome to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, it's pamscamardo.com. Hopefully I get to meet you and you can share your stories with me. I'm rooting for you guys, even if we're not connected in person. Just I'm here as a positive force.
Awesome. Well, that's very nice of you to extend that offer to people. I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, just for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Now, please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today that Pam talked about can be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website, and we'll have links to how you can get in touch with her as well. And that's at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode with Pam Scamardo. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.